Welcome to the Saturday set for Champions Day 2025. Kingzone, we love a champion.
We do love a champion. Day four, we've got to get through Oaks Day today.
We do have to get through Oaks Day today. Yeah, the favourite looks hard to beat there. The favourites have been winning the Oaks over the last few years. Anyway, we're here to talk about Saturday. Fizzo, welcome in, mate.
Yeah, thanks, boys. How are you?
Been a lot of betting for you. You're handling it all?
Been a busy week. Tuesday was next level.
It's the best, isn't it?
Yeah, no respite today, too. You'll be busy out there after
today,
we shoot this.
Today's all right. I can handle today. And yesterday was a nice quiet one, but Kings is the Kyneton Cup winner yesterday.
Okay. Did you find the Melbourne Cup winner or...?
I missed out on the Melbourne Cup, but I got the booby prize, the Lincoln Rocks in the Kyneton Cup. So okay, we might back on the horse, I've backed the last cup winner anyway.
We might talk about that later. That's good. Let's go and look at three feature races from Flemington. Let's start with the Champion Sprint. Let's look at Tantiris in the Coolmore Stud Stakes. You can see him tucked away there in the Royal Godolphin Blue with the white hat. He's about to burst through and go bang. Dominant win, probably the sprinting performance of the spring so far. I think even Ka Ying Rising only slightly outrated him on the Dano rating scale. Really, really emphatic win. So that's only 3-year-olds there, but Sam and Anthony Friedman have decided to back him up in the Champion Sprint. But there is a caveat, isn't there, Fizzer?
There is a
lot of rain, and apparently Sam Friedman has said on our radio that if it is too heavy, Tantiris will not be running.
Yeah, correct. Wait, that's what I heard as well. I mean, we're in the hands of the weather gods. We have no idea what the weather's going to do, and the prediction was worse yesterday than it is now for the weekend there in Flemington. So we'll see whether it lines up.
Let's assume it's lining up because assume
it's in there. It's not scratched yet. So let's talk about it with that horse in, I guess, which is leaving me with two hopes, Tantiris and Jolly Star. I give the rest of the field none.
Okay.
Why do you give Giga Kick none?
Giga had his little race last start. I'm happy to say Giga won't be putting back-to-back performances on.
This didn't is up impress, to group one as well, isn't
didn't
it?
Didn't impress me that much, Giga Kick last start. So, no, I thought there was two hopes. Whether or not things change if Tantiris does come out, I'll reassess. But then I think Jolly Star's a complete moral if that's the case. But I can't bet into that market at the moment. So, for me, it's a two-horse war, and I'm happy to let them run without me at those prices at the moment.
Yeah, first thing I want to say, Flemington day four. So I went back and had a look at the replays of last year day four at Flemington and the straight races that were coming down the outside of the track. You didn't want to be on the inside. They're all gravitating towards the middle to outside. So I'd be a bit wary of horses that are drawn barriers 1, 2, 3 down the straight. The circle, they were early. They were on the fence, a couple of leaders won, but they were more in the distance races. Towards the back end of the program, the last half of the program, they were getting off the fence and coming down the middle of the track as well. And there's obviously a bit of rain tipped. I wouldn't probably want to be on pace horses on Saturday in the circle races, I don't think. I think they'll sit off paces. You want horses that are strong at the distance. If it's wet, they can handle a wet surface and also with good late sectionals. Let's talk about this race. I found this race interesting, obviously, because there's a few different form lines coming out. So I went and had a look at the ratings to sort of match them up. So last start ratings, Giga Kick 99, Jolly Star out of the Everest 98, and Tantiris out of the Coolmore 100. So not a great deal between those ratings of last start. What is interesting to note as well is that Jolly Star's second last rating was 102, second last start, but peak rating is 105, which was the new market down the straight, where she just completely exploded. This race, I think, is very hard. I'm not ruling out Giga Kick in this race like Fitz. I'm not particularly want to back Giga Kick, but I'm definitely not ruling him out. I thought that win last start was on a leader bias track as well, and the way he exploded down the middle of the track, if he can improve on that run, then he pretty much goes very, very close to winning this race. So don't know whether he will improve or regress off that run, but we know how talented he is. Yeah. He is, and I wouldn't rule him out. Jolly Star, the thing that – Jolly Star out of the three of them is probably the horse that isn't sort of going the best really, but comes out of an Everest obviously into an easier race or perceived easier race here. What I did like, two things I did like about Jolly Star is one, the peak rating out of the new market. So she does go good down the straight, obviously, but so does Giga Kicks, one down the straight, and Tantiris obviously goes good down the straight as well. The other thing that I liked about Jolly Star was the barrier. So Jolly Star's drawn 7.
Mm-hmm.
Tantiris is 3 and Giga Kick's, I think, in 4.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and they're both sort of settled back. They'll both get cover. So I'm imagining James will be on the outside of both those horses, and I think that's probably the better place to be. And then Tantiris just keeps improving. The thing I like about Tantiris here is 53.5 kilos, whereas the others are carrying 3 or 5 kilos more. Just super impressive in the Coolmore and keeps going to another level. So what do I think in the end after saying all that? I don't really think a lot. I think the market's pretty right. I couldn't really split Tantiris and Jolly Star probably. And then I think Giga Kick's third pick at $5. I'd be surprised if anything else won the race. I just didn't think Tropicus, who will probably lead, was up to it, and I couldn't back anything else. So I think one of those three will win. It's a no-bet race for me, and I can't split the top two.
All right, let's move on to Flemington Race 7, the Champions Mile. I'm calling it the race of the spring, and let's get in the mood by looking at Pride of Jenny in the Empire Rose last week. There she is. Just magnificent to watch. Why don't you talk us through this, Fizzer? You're excited about her?
Oh, mate, she just keeps doing this. When she gets away with that break on the field, that's when she wins her races. The minute that she's not 5, 6, 7, 8 lengths in front of them before the bend, she seems to get rolled.
Yep.
So it all depends on which Pride of Jenny rocks up some days. Like we saw in Sydney, she didn't jump that clean, and then she struggled to sort of get away from the field in that race in Sydney, and then she goes there and does that and does what we know she can do when she's out like that in front. And I don't see a huge difference in this race in regards to the speed of any of the other horses. We've seen what Pride of Jenny's done when Mr. Brightside's in the race, and we've seen Treasure the Moment behind Pride of Jenny. We've seen that when she gets him off the bit, they really struggle to catch her. Now, if she pinches that break, she's going to be incredibly hard to beat again, in my opinion. Whether or not that run and backing up a week later takes it out of her legs a little bit is my concern with Pride of Jenny. And if it's heavy, then it probably makes it more of a slugfest and much harder. And then you've got horses like Mr. Brightside, who loves the wet, who is fresher and can chase her down. And you've got Chair Wolf, who I did put a line through before it won last start.
Yep.
Good on your junior for tipping it as a winner.
Mm-hmm.
Well done. I'm not putting a line through it now. I think he's found the key. I'm guessing he's kept the blinkers on. I haven't had a solid look at it. And then I think the race is a lot harder for your Treasure the Moment, Steffi Magnetica, who's going to give him a long gap. Not as good in the wet, I don't think, as a few of the others. Steffi Magnetica, Treasure the Moment, hasn't been on a heavy, I don't think. It's gone fine on the soft, so you'd think it'll handle it.
I think it was heavy. The Oaks was heavy, I think.
Oh, righto. So maybe it's had one run.
No, the Vinery was on heavy too. Remember, right, it was that rain in over the
Okay, so autumn, she so. She's proved herself in the wet. Like a Lucy's there. Lake Forest, I don't think, goes in the wet, so I'm happy to pen it. And Pericles, I just don't think. Pericles had its hope last start. Looked like it was going to win in Sydney and then just knocked up late. So, look, I think that the top three there in the market definitely have it between them. Treasure and Steffi are the next picks, but they're behind those for me. So I don't have a clear-cut bet, but I think it's a great race, like you've said.
So I went and last week, Waller, in his show, he said, we're not going to let Pride of Jenny get too far out in the Empire Rose. And I went back and watched the early stages with Fangirl and Like a Lucy, and they're ridden pretty aggressively. Like he's trying, trying to keep up with her, but they just sort of couldn't. And then they get to the point where it's like, well, I'm going to have to really light these horses up to get with her, and then they kind of just don't do it, and then she just rolls out in front. So what's going to happen in this race? Like they cannot let her get in front by 6 or 7 lengths. If they do and she's in front at the 800 by that, she'll probably win. So my question to you is, who is going to keep her in track?
I actually don't think. I keep looking back at it.
But Treasure the Moment. Maybe, Brightside
Treasure
can ride
the
positive.
Moment maybe, sitting a bit closer, two lengths off.
I disagree. There was in Pride of Jenny's previous race, and I sat here and said it, and tip Pride of Jenny, there was no pressure. There was no second horse that sits, or second or third horses that sit second or third. Mm. There was nothing in that race. So it was sort of that no one really wanted to take it up. But I think Craig Williams will take it up on Mr. Brightside in this race.
That's the answer I was looking for.
I've got Pride of Jenny leading from Mr. Brightside and Treasure the Moment. Both Mr. Brightside and Treasure the Moment have both had their pants pulled down in the past by Pride of Jenny.
Mm-hmm. And at the Valley, though.
Yes, yep. Yes, but no, and no, also at the was it the King Charles or the Queen Elizabeth where Pride of Jenny went along, like, you know, 20 lengths in front, sort of thing.
Queen Elizabeth.
That was a Queen Elizabeth, yeah.
Yeah, she, they've had many, many goes, but it seems like Mr. Brightside can't have beat her at the Valley. But anyway, that's in the rear view.
We're not racing at the Valley. It's all over, isn't it? It's a big difference. So I'll just start with Pride of Jenny because she's such an interesting horse. And her last eight runs, these are the placings of her last eight runs. 11th, 1st, 9th, 1st, 10th, 1st, 7th, 1st. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
She flops or she wins.
Yeah. And I think, like, as I said, and I've got to write this prep completely, I think she's a fresh horse.
Yeah.
I don't think she'll handle the backup.
Okay.
I don't think she'll – I think it's much harder this race because it's a better quality of horse in this race. I don't think they'll let her get in front and do her thing in front. And I think as well, Flemington 1600 on a wet track will be a lot harder than it looks for her as well. You've got to run a strong, strong 1600. And going by those, what I just read out as well, that pattern is, you know, that she's going to fail. I'm tipping that she does fail in this race and misses a place. That's my first tip. So what I found, what as well from a form point of view, there's some different form lines. The King Charles, the Empire Rose, the Cox Plate, obviously are the three main form lines in this race. So I went and had a look at the ratings for those. The King Charles rated 100. Chia Wolf rated 100 coming out of the King Charles. The Empire Rose that Pride of Jenny won rated 101, which was higher than the King Charles. And the Cox Plate rated 101, obviously won by Via Sestina. So there's not much between those races at all. Last year's Champions Mile rated higher than all those races at 103, won by Mr. Brightside. So Mr. Brightside, I think this race sets up pretty well for Mr. Brightside. Won 20 races from 47 starts. Going well this prep, second in a Memzi, first in a Maccabi Diva and second in a King's Charles. He's just such a
consistent.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And he always has a big win, which he's already had because of the Maccabi Diva, but he could easily do it again.
So I'll give him a chance. He's been really well backed in early markets. He got the MM. No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. He should have been bouncing around between $5 and $4, hasn't he?
Yeah. Well, no, he got, I don't know. When I looked, he got smashed, didn't he? Fits in betting five in about 420.
Or something into 420 or something, but I don't know.
Anyway, he's been well backed, as has Treasure by the look of that. Now, the next horse that I just want to talk about is Chio Wolf, who was going like a complete busted before got the blinkers on. Mm. And then obviously came out and won the King Charles. Mm. Only won 6 from 24 races. And what's really surprising about Chio Wolf is that he's never been to Melbourne. And those 24 races, every single one of them has been in Sydney.
I didn't realise that, yeah.
So that's an interesting stat there too, which I think is a little bit against Chio Wolf, that he's never travelled, wasn't going as well. Like, I'd rather take a horse like Mr. Brightside, really, who's always consistent and loves the wet, over a horse like Chio Wolf, who's won 6 from 24 and maybe at his grand final and everything run to suit. I think he's a chance, but I'd have him longer than 550. Now I want to talk about Treasure the Moment.
Mm-hmm.
So Treasure the Moment's never missed a place. 15 starts, 10 wins, 4 seconds and 1/3. Much improved run in the Cox Plate, finishing 3rd, obviously, behind Via. The thing about Treasure the Moment is that she's come out of a lot of slowly run races. She seems to always get in races that are quite slowly run. Even that race with Pride of Jenny where she couldn't catch her, well, Pride of Jenny didn't go that hard. I think they will go faster in this race than the majority of races that she's been in. And her highest rating, did I write it down? I didn't write the number down, but her highest rating was on the 8th of March this year, and that was off a fast tempo run.
The Cox Plate was her highest rating, I think, from what I saw.
Not on my numbers, sorry, I said third in the Cox Plate. She ran second in the Cox Plate.
No, she ran third.
No, she ran third.
Oh, okay. So what ran second in the Cox Plate?
Buckaroo.
Oh, Buckaroo, that's right, and then ran last in the Melbourne Cup.
Correct.
What I'm saying is that Treasure the Moment, I think, will be suited by a fast pace. So I think this race will suit Treasure the Moment, and she seems like maybe she's getting back to her best now as well after that setback about sort of three starts ago. Now, weird races after that. There's a lot of the spring we've seen a lot of small fields and slowly run races at Pride of Jenny and Mr. Brightside have won. This is a real race. Mm. And I think it'll suit Treasure the Moment. The other horse that Steffi ran fourth in this race last year. I couldn't back Steffi. Too much improvement needed. Like a Lucy's a horse that'll get back and run on as well. 850 is a bit short, but she's a horse going places and wouldn't surprise me if she came out, drawn the right barrier, is going to be in the right spot, I think, at Flemington as well. And the other one before I wrap up is Lake Forest. And we saw Zach Purton cop a pasting for not being aggressive enough. But the thing I like about Lake Forest is we all said last start in the King Charles at 7.50 was big odds, and he was smashed.
Yeah.
He came into into $4.40. Where there's smoke, there's fire. I think Lake Forest is a horse that has a lot of ability, but Fitz, you were saying that he doesn't handle the wet tracks.
He doesn't have a very good wet record, Lake Forest. So if their rain does come, I would suggest he would be easy in the market, less likely to firm.
My wrap-up of this race is it's not a great betting race. I would happily lay Pride of Jenny.
Yep.
If I'm tipping in the race, I am Treasure the Moment from Mr. Brightside would be my two bets.
Thank you, sir. Let's move. A little
bit of each way there for you. Wouldn't do you any harm. I think Mr. Brightside, if you backed him each way, Jesus Christ, you get a run for your money.
Sure.
You're not going to do much dough if you back him each way, are you?
No, you'll get $1.90 a place, I reckon.
Can you see him missing a place, Mr. Brightside?
Not really. He handles the wet. He ticks all the boxes. The only negative with him is taking it up to Pride of Jenny, I suppose, but he's done it plenty of times and still boxed on. And he did it in the King Charles as well, and Pride of Jenny dropped out and he still boxed on and ran second.
Let's move on to the Champions Stakes, and we get to see our girl Via Sestina. Let's go back and watch the Cox Plate. We've all seen this before, but there's nothing wrong with watching the last ever race at the Valley one more time. Treasure the Moment, we just talked about her long and hard there. She's out in front. Via, she goes
lift
to Treasure, and then Buckaroo's going to win. Oh, hang on. Via's the champion, says, nah, not today, and wins the Cox Plate. Let's bring the market up. Fizzy, you want to start again?
I'll start again because I'm tipping Via on the Saturday set as an official tip.
Oh! So
We'll talk about why more than anything else. I'm looking at this race, and this is the lowest field she's come up against by the length of the straight in a very long time, right? We know there's no tempo in this race, mm-hmm. but when your form comes up with Kovalika's second pick, you must
look,
bet.
Look how serious he is.
You must
bet. Is this how you talk to your kids when you're angry? This is what it feels like.
No, but you got to bet. Like, I know it's $1.70, but I think that's a very good price, I've got to say.
Well, I can't work out how in the Cox Plate, she was $2.20 or $2.30, and now she's $1.70 in this race. I've got to agree with you there. I'm quite
confused. I keep looking at it thinking to myself, what are they seeing in this race that is going to challenge Via Sestina? And I can't see it. So, look, the lack of tempo is the biggest concern, but every horse is facing the lack of tempo.
Wet track a concern for you?
Not really. She goes in the wet. I'm fine with Via in the wet. No problem.
She's had one mishap.
I honestly just keep looking at the $1.70 thinking to myself, that's very generous. Thank you, bookies. And I think it'll start closer to 150 on the weekend, mm-hmm. maybe shorter if people come to their senses.
So this is the multi-lock for everyone, including me and my mate's Moat Pot.
You've priced
at 120.
It's pretty hard not to in that field.
Or is there just any price a good price?
No, I just sometimes I get carried away with that. I know it's a group one. I know it's staring at $1.70 shot. Like it's not anything anyone else can't find. I just struggle to find the danger.
Yeah, I'm like you. I wanted to be against you. I was trying to find something, and then I just couldn't. I was like Chris Waller, grand final, coming off the Cox Plate. What did I say?
I think she's done this before too. Didn't she come into this race and win it after winning the Cox Plate last time?
Absolutely.
Off that massive run of the Cox Plate. So
yeah.
Again, I'm just looking at it. It's the weakest field she's faced in a very, very long time.
That's what I was going to say. No pace. Coming off the grand final, I wanted to find something to beat her and or say that she's unders. I don't think she's unders at $1.70. I don't want to back her because of those reasons. I don't particularly want to bet in the race. But for price wise, I'm surprised that she is $1.70. The horse, the other two horses that I thought could potentially knock her off, I thought Tom Kitten, who was fifth in the King Charles, is fit and looks to be well suited going to 2,000 meters here. I thought was second pick, and the other horse which I think can improve a lot, and I've tipped a few times, is Pierre, who is going to 2,000 metres for the first time. And was third behind Chio Wolf in the King Charles. So you've got two horses coming out of that strong rating King Charles that are going down there. And if she fails, I think one of those two will win. I think.
I thought Pierre was a danger myself. That was the only horse that I came out with.
Pierre's probably the one that can improve going to 2,000 metres and on the way up. But yeah, I thought 170 was if I was betting off prices, I would be on. What price are you on at?
$1.75.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah, more than happy to be on.
Let's move on. We're going to go to Rose Hill for the Five Diamonds, an 1,800-metre race for the five-year-olds. We're going to watch Transatlantic in the Five Diamonds Prelude. Of course, it won the Toorak. So there's some pretty big goes in this race, and there goes Transatlantic out to the front, and they just never get near him. He's going to be the dominant favourite in this Five Diamonds. There's some other nice horses in the race. For example, Rise at Dawn, Militarize. What you say, King Zone?
Well, this is a race I really like, the Five Diamonds up at Rose Hill. Now, first thing I want to say about this race, well, Transatlantic in that race then was coming off a fairly slow tempo, got a bit of on-pace favours, very impressive and accelerated away. In this race, there is a stack of pressure. So Transatlantic is drawn out in barrier 14 for Tommy Berry. We'll have to go forward, obviously, from that barrier. Rise at Dawn's a known from barrier one, known on pacer, known leader, going to punch forward as well. What else have we got? We got number 12, Lou.
Yep.
Is that how you pronounce it? Not Loch?
Don't know. Laugh, Lou, I don't know.
Fukabana, not on the screen, goes forward as well. And another horse that goes forward is number 3, Bullet Point, who's coming over from the UK.
Yes.
Raced at York, won at York two starts back, and then raced over 1,800 metres at York last start. I went and watched the video, sat second in that race and dropped out and was pretty disappointing. So Bullet Point's ratings are about, I think, 4 points lower. But Bullet Point has about the same ratings off that peak two starts ago as what Rise of Dawn has, but was really disappointing last start. So Bullet Point goes forward as well. So you've got five horses that go forward here. I'm going to start with Transatlantic and just talk a little bit more about Transatlantic, who has a lot of weight as well, carried weight last time, but goes from 1,600 to 1,800 this time. So carrying weight, drawn out wide, going to go forward, more pressure, 59 kilos, and had a fairly slow time in front last time, and also two starts back, what was the race Transatlantic won at Caulfield, the Toorak? Leader bias track that day as well. So bit of favours its last two, heavily against Transatlantic in this race. Then we go to the second pick, Rise at Dawn, fourth up, goes to 1,800 with more pressure on, not going as well this prep, even though run third, second and third. Ratings aren't as high this prep and hasn't won a race since February after winning four in a row. So won four in a row back at the start of the year and hasn't really gone to that next level again. Can't see Rise at Dawn winning. Don't want to be on Transatlantic. Don't want to be on Bullet Point because of that last UK run. Right out, here we go. We've got some value now. We've got something to work with. And that's when I get excited, when I'm having my cup of tea at home in the morning on Thursday starting at 8 a.m. and my eyes light up and I go, right, I get the pen out and I go, here we go. So what I found two horses are official tips.
Lovely.
And I found a sneaky roughie as well. I'm going to start with official tips first, and I'm going to start with number 7, Militarize.
Okay.
Fifth in the Hill Stakes, where he should have finished a lot closer. And prior to that, second behind a horse who's completely airborne in Lindemann. Fit, improving, goes to 1,800, draws out a bit wide, which I like, because Militarize will get back in the field with a magic man on it, a bit of seawall, a bone and muscle, and straight down the middle of the track. I think 750 is great value. The other official Saturday set tip is a horse that ran on Tuesday called Vivier. So backing up 4 days, ran second on Tuesday in the big dance behind Gringotts, and was charging down the middle of the track, gets all the favours again with that early pace on. Very, very happy to be on Vivier. And now for my sneaky roughie as well, number 5, Mikhail, ran 8th in the prelude. It's about 70 to 1, this horse, going to 1,800. off a fast pace, have something eachy peachy on it. Geez, I love this race. I love value fits. I love value.
Are you sweet with tipping three in a race, Fizz?
I'm not sweet.
Well, you don't like three in a race at $8, $8.60. And you know what else you do in this race?
Oh, no.
You fill the bag.
You lay the one. Right. Okay, so you'll be surprised to hear I completely agree with you on Militarize.
Beautiful.
That's the bet in the race. I
didn't expect that.
100% agree. Militarize hit the line nicely. Transatlantic, everything you said, I agree with. It's going to have to work. I've no knock on Transatlantic in the fact that it deserves to be favourite. I do think it'll drift, but this is a different race than the last few.
Yep.
Get that extra 200 metres with more pressure and the bad barrier, and that's why I'm more against Transatlantic than anything else.
Okay.
I think the horse to be on each way is Militarize. I have Transatlantic second pick. I think Rise at Dawn isn't in great form. I think it'll go forward, but I didn't love its run at the Valley last start when it led and knocked up. And Viviere, if it backs up after 4 days, is a smoky, but doesn't tend to win very often, Viviere. So Militarize all day each way, I reckon.
Oh, I've got something else in this race.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, listen to this one. Leave out Transatlantic. Leave out Rise at Dawn. Leave out Bullet Point and box the field in the trifecta.
There you go. I don't mind that so much.
And the reason – I'll give you the reason why, because they're going to go so hard up front, there's so much pressure, they might just all go kaput. Woo!
Sweet. Well, I'll put that in my Mates Mo pot, which I'm running. We're doing another Mates Mo pot. It's the last one for Cup Week. Small loss on Cup Day. Mm-hmm. Lost $10 of the 50. I was content with that. I always knew it was going to be a hard day. We shot the lights out on diabetes. That's all right. But anyway, if you want to get involved, you know what to do. Go to the Mates Mo community on the Woof, on the Ladbrokes app. Punching the code up the den 25 if you're not already in there. But if you are in there, I'll see you again. Everyone's enjoying their good fun, and I'm looking forward to having a big day on Saturday, and then we'll put them on ice for a couple of weeks, and we'll be cut back for, I think we've got three or four more to finish off the year.
What, in December?
Yeah, a few in. Oh, there's cool. One might be Cranbourne Cup Day, then there's a few in December, including Hong Kong International Day.
Oh, beautiful.
One more Greyhound one, and that'd probably be about it off the top of my head. Can I please get your official?
When is Hong Kong International Day?
December 9 or 10 or something like that.
I might go if I can. Got to get my papers stamped maybe, Richard.
Yes.
I stamp my own papers sometimes though.
Your official Saturday set, please.
My official Saturday set tip reads like this. Rose Hill, race 8, number 7, Militarize at number 13, Viviere. Then we're heading up north, race 6, number 8, Cavalryman. I've written fit and racing really well. Second last start over 2,000 metres. But what I like about these horses, drops in weight, drops about 5 kilos in weight, and it's drawn barrier 2. Consider a lot closer in a slightly harder race, but I think that the weight drop and the mapping really makes up for it. And this horse is in career best form.
Yep.
Early bet on it. More, and the other one I really like, which I think is a good oil, I'd back all these horses early.
Okay.
Morpheville, race 5, number 10, Thinking 99, had quite a tough run in a similar class of race over 2,050 metres, I think it was. Comes back 100 metres. But what I like about this race compared to its last race is there's less pressure in this and is going to go straight to the front with not much weight on its back at all. And claiming two for Caitlin Toodle, if she rates it well out in front, she can just kick and see you later. $7.50 I think is a great price.
Great work. Fizzy, your official Saturday set.
No worries. We've talked about Flemington race 8, number 10 versus Sestina. I'm going to head to Morpheville for two bets. Race 2, number 1, Bel Regazzo. This horse is a maiden. It's only had the one start where it chased the racer, chased the leader. Couldn't quite reel it in, but it gets an extra 100 metres this weekend and to me looks a very, very good chance of saluting.
Yeah.
Then we'll go to Morpheville race 4, number 2, the big so-so. This horse is airborne. It's won its last two. The way it won last start is the reason why I'm quite keen on it this start.
Mm-hmm.
The way it hit the line and ran away from him, I'm quite impressed with the way it's been hitting the line. Keen on it this weekend. We'll go one in Ascot, race 9, number 7. I thought Ascot was quite difficult this weekend. Filthy Habits. This horse has had three trials leading to this first up 1,800 metre run. This horse puts itself on the speed. Should lead this race and it'll take a power beating if it gets to the front by itself. Then we're going to Eagle Farm race 5, number 11, Lyles. This horse won in Sydney last start at Warwick Farm, goes up to Queensland, gets a map advantage on the other favourite, which I think will ease even heavier by the time they jump, which is Cosmo Centaurus. Cosmo Centura sat third the fence last start, got every little break, hit the line, and it's three from three first up. Cosmo Centura's never been placed second up. It's drifting in the market. Lyles looks the firmer to me, gets a map advantage. So keen on it. And then we're going to the King's Owns bet, race six, number eight, Cavalryman. I found it also. Said it's run last start when it was three wide against a fit horse that backed up after 3 days, who went past it in the straight after the hard run. I think it's a very good bet this weekend, Cavalryman. Barrier two, your beauty.
Great work. Thank you very much.
Stuff.
Let's go look at accountability. There it is. So I'm
coming to get ya.
Yeah, I've had a hard
last week.
There's a few favourites.
The 2 weeks in before in the got hunt, me. But
how good though, from the 9th of March 2024, basically you both won 20% on turnover at the quoted price that we tip the horses at, which you can sometimes get better afterwards, but not very often because they normally get smashed in betting, and that's why people like watching this show, because of the fluctuations that we predict. Not so much the winners, but the fluctuations we could get a lot right a lot of time. But well done, Fitz, 20%. Great effort.
Yeah, Tar, it was up around and better than that.
But look at the profit. You're making, you tip more horses. So you're making $4,100 against my $2,600. That's betting to win $200 with a max bet of $100.
Let's go look at the Dens accountability. Punter of the Year was announced for October. All the people who won that, they've been up on the podium before, I think.
Yeah, congratulations to Aaron, 179 bets. And look at that profit on turnover as well, 23%. With a profit with the same staking plan, $4,000. How good is that? There are so many smart punters on the Den.
So many. And you can go and follow them all. Free to download the app. Go and download it and follow them. It can only help your punting. King's Own, let's have a chat. So let's talk about the call of the card. Lot to discuss. Why don't we talk about the positive aspects of the call of the card? It is an event that is gaining a lot of momentum and a lot of steam, isn't it?
Oh, mate, it was so good down there. I just had such a great day. The atmosphere in the room was off its head completely. It was just, you know what I loved? It just, when the betting started, just it was like the old days of people just yelling out bets. Yeah,
there's new blood. There's new blood there. There's people we hadn't heard of. Like, what was his name?
McManus.
Kieran McManus.
Yes.
I was like, we hadn't heard of him because obviously he's from a very successful family. I think they're from the UK or something like that.
Sam Swinnell was having a crack. Tony G was having a crack.
Owner of Half Yours.
Yeah. Tom Mordhouse was having a crack.
Someone had 200,000 cash on I can't remember exactly what horse it was. It might have been Al Riffer. And then, of course, the Easy Go, the stake team, they had the $500,000 bet on Al Riffer as well.
Yes, and I don't rap bookies very often in this show, but everybody up there had a big go. Lyndon Cleary was there. I asked him to win. I'll tell you what I did like. I asked Lyndon Cleary for on River of Stars for $30,000 at $18 or something like that, and he bet me to win $250,000. And then he left the price there, and he took all he took everyone else's bets as well. And I tried to sneak in again and get to win. And he goes, no, you're on. But he let everyone else on. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, nice.
But I just tried to sneak in the back door and get another bet on. But what I love was is just the game that we played, and we always played on track, was sort of a bit like that where everyone was – sometimes you got on, sometimes you didn't. Mm. I missed out on Al Riffer and took 750, but who cares? Some people got on first, some people got on second. But everybody got on eventually because all the bookies there were taking massive bets and having a big go. 102% they bet as well.
Yeah.
But it's only going to get bigger, I reckon.
I think so, yeah. There'll be more – if they can – keep the bookies betting big, and people the big punters who turned up on that day get set for what they want. I think more will come. I think it's got fantastic potential.
And my million dollar bet went down the drain as well. But I tell you what, I had a lot of fun doing the four episodes of the Melbourne Cup, and I'll be doing them again next year as well.
Well, that was going to be my question. So I made a vlog of it. It's a good vlog. You should go and watch it. There's the thumbnail for it. And it's got everything that good content needs. It's a bit funny. There's a lot of drama in it, and it has an ending that makes you feel something, right? So we sort of end, and you said, "Oh, Kembler and Seven," which has become a bit of a catch cry now. The punters loved hearing that, but then there's a tagline at the end. It's sort of a weird way to finish the thing because we don't bat the winner. We're all somber and tired, and you go Kembler and Seven. It says, and then the tagline's me saying, "Think, is this a bet you really want to place?"
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, well, I'll have to ask Kings in the Saturday set. Is this a bet you want to keep placing? It looks like you're ready to go again next year.
Oh, I'm ready to go now. I'm ready to go now. Oh, I love the Melbourne Cup. I love betting. As I said, I bet big on the grand final. NRL, and I bet big on the Melbourne Cup. Every year I allow myself to. Sometimes I win, sometimes I lose. I backed the NRL Grand Final win. The Broncos had a massive result. Didn't win this on the two of them. I'm still well in front for the two of them. So people look at me, oh, what an idiot. So why do you bet big on that? I just love it.
Yeah, that's great.
I love it. I can get on it. I can get on at low percentages. So there is a bit of method behind my madness, as I said in episode one of those videos that I did. But Kembler in seven is like, let's just get our heads back down and go to work. So like,
do you know, what the result of that race was?
Yeah, I was on a horse that was about 350 into 210 and it ran second.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, so
any advice for the king?
No, I don't think I've got it's any
like, let's just get back to work. It's just
the king doesn't need advice. He's been doing it a long time. It just makes me laugh. I didn't even realise the Kembler in seven thing went on because I was still there with the heads in the computers having bets. But it's a sad feeling when you go across the line and his runners didn't run in the first three. And you never really got to run for your money with our riffer,
which I never got out of my chair at any point.
There's not much you can do. Melbourne Cup's very hard to find the winner. And, half yours. We were knocking it more at the price more than knocking it as a horse. It obviously had a genuine price, chance, but it was $6.50 when we were giving it a hard time.
Yeah.
They bet $9.
$10 or something.
Had $10 in my prices. And when we did do the show, it was $6.50. We said it was unders. And I think it can win, but I don't want to back it. And I had a $10. I didn't want to back it. I thought the negatives for me was it set for a Melbourne Cup?
Yeah,
and it hadn't been past 2400, and that's why I had $10. Yeah, I was wrong, but if it was sort of $14 or something, but it did drift. Like the big go in the race was Presage Nocturne.
Oh, unbelievable. Taking hard on Betfair at $6, like big money, and that was a surprise that – it was a $10 shot prior to – they bet 10 at the Caller Cup.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a big go in the Melbourne Cup, the volume of money.
And I think it's important to look back at a race like that as well and go, did you – for me, and I do this a lot, did I do anything wrong? Yeah, I didn't bet the winner, but that doesn't even come – that doesn't even matter to me. It's like, did I overstake? Was my selection process correct? Would I do anything different? And when I look back at that, my answers are no to everything. Mm-hmm. So I was extremely calm before the race. I'm extremely calm after the race. I can't control results. But I just want to say out of that Caulfield Cup, when I look at it, was Half Yours the horse that was going to have the most improvement out of that race? It did have, but before, when you're trying to predict winners, it's very much about what you think the horse can do to improve. And a lot of people were right and said, yes, 3,200 with that weight, that he is going to improve, and they were right. But the market gravitated more towards Presage Nocturne and saying, no, that was the right run out of the Caulfield Cup. So sometimes it's not about the result. It's looking back and saying,
patterns and did you predict them right?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, sometimes I might be sitting here in 40 years when I'm 90, I don't know if you blokes will still be here. Someone else younger might have taken over. But I'm still going to be here when I'm 90, right, sitting here. And I would have done that 40 times and I might have backed 20 winners. So sometimes I'm going to lose. Sometimes I'm going to win. But we don't know what's going to happen. But that's the beauty of betting, isn't it, when you don't know what's going to happen? Mm. It's just all turnover. Sometimes I'm right. Sometimes I'm wrong. But I keep betting.
We've got a new piece of content, the Dream Chasers set. So it's based on the Dream Chasers Festival for Greyhounds down in Melbourne. It goes for about 6 weeks. And I'm going to record a Dream Chasers set with Jason Adams and Corey Smith, two top blokes and know their greyhound racing better than anyone out there. So we're going to talk about the feature races, put together a set. I'm really looking forward to doing it in collaboration with Greyhound at Racing Victoria. So that'll go live at 7 o'clock tonight. And I'll put the link in the description. So if you're watching this after 7 o'clock tonight, it'll be ready to go. Otherwise, you just have to wait a little bit. I think that's it. Ready to go? You're about to leave.
Well, it's Oaks Day, and we're ready to attack and get something back from Cup Day. So,
And I love leaving you guys with something to fire you up. And this is a beautiful piece of content. So it's Team McAvoy, Calvin and Tony celebrating the Melbourne Cup win with Half Yours with their family.
Fantastic!
It's just really raw emotion. I just loved it. It was pretty popular on social media, so many of you would have seen it. But it's a great way to leave you. They love the great game. I love the great game. You love the great game. Let's all enjoy it on Saturday up the Den. Thank you. Such a big,
chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.